morning. This is Yvon Tina on Creative Disturbance and Virtual Africa. I'm today with Pierre-Christophe Ngam from Afropolis. Good morning, Pierre-Christophe.
Good morning, Ivan.
Can you please introduce yourself in a few seconds, please?
So I'm a Cameroonian Chadian polymath designer. I'm originally trained as an architect and quickly moved into branding and art direction. I'm also an artist and the founder of Afropolis, which is a cultural platform, which the aim is to explore the modern African cultural landscape.
Okay, thank you very much. So I contacted you on Facebook because Kofi Sename, one of my previous guests on Creative Disturbance, on Virtual Africa, I mean, highly recommended you to me. So you was at the conference in Abidjan on the new, and basically what will be the future models of growth in Africa. Can you please let us know what was your intervention, what was your role in this conference?
Okay, so as you said, yeah, the conference was organized by Le Monde, Afrique, which is a French publication. Mm-hmm. And the aim, this was a two-day symposium, and invited many different guests, and they were touching upon subjects such as economy, mm-hmm. the new African, the basically entrepreneurship,
yes.
You know, startups, new African cities, the idea of resilient cities, and the role of creativity and culture,
yeah.
In the economic rise of the continent. And I was invited as an artist to reflect on the role that the culture could play, you know, in Africa for the to come.
So, what role culture can play in Africa for you?
I believe that culture can be looked into two different, there's two points to look upon. On one hand, you have the idea of cultural diplomacy,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe self-power,
mm-hmm.
And the need for a culture to define its own narrative and then to share its narrative with others. And on the other hand, you have creative industries. And the fact that it's a £1 billion, you know, it's a huge industry in the UK, in the US, throughout the world, and that Africa has been creating cultural content for years. But the issue at hand was that in many respects, Africans were not often the one directly involved in getting the fruits of that work.
Yes.
You know, and so there's a need for better institutions, but as well the need for the cultural producer to create platforms that will allow them to better distribute and better control and monetize, you know, the cultural production. I think that in regards to Africa, because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously, when you say African narrative, Africa is a continent, so there's obviously different countries, different cultural experience, and so on. But I guess maybe we can say that there is a common thread throughout the continent, the same way that you say there's a common thread throughout Asia, throughout Europe. You know, there's a similar outlook on the world, let's say.
Yes.
But the issue is the idea of cultural diplomacy is that for a while now, you know, following slavery and colonialism, the narrative of Africa and Africans were defined by others than Africans themselves. And this had a very pernicious, I don't know if you said anything, but a very vicious and damaging effect in regards to the representation of Africans in the world, and how they're being perceived, but as well to another extent, how they then perceive themselves. Because they are just as consumer of these mm-hmm. visuals, narratives, and stories about themselves, you know. And the need and what I was emphasizing during the conference was the urgent need, which is something that is already happening now more and more, but the need to even go beyond that for Africans to really define the story, to really define the narrative, and to really share the worldview you know, it's not just about African, it's not about your, it's not about just relating your experience, but it's about really offering a new way of looking at the world and a new way of being in the world. Because I think in many regards, Africans, you know, on the continent, but globally, can really offer another insight into the world that we live in. And it's, I believe it's important for Africans to share that, you know, in a very much more aware and calculated fashion.
One of the words that you used here, and I think it's very interesting that you use it, because you use the word of this word cultural diplomacy, and within the art, science, and technology field too, there has been a discussion that emerged recently, is international affairs and political science, an emerging trend in art science. Which has been, which was the question that Roger Malina basically asked in one of the forum discussion, and in his review, he's saying that basically in the recent years, the numbers of emerging actors within political science and humanities disciplines have emerged, from social anthropologists to diplomats, economists, social scientists. To disaster management experts. And within the example that he quotes, you know, some famous place on laboratories in France like Ars Industrialis or, you know, the Bruno Latour laboratory in Sciences Po in Paris. But my question was, do you have an idea about this kind of place or incubator where in Africa people are talking about, you know, the mix between culture, diplomacy, the influence of culture, and how cultural diplomacy could help to foster and to, you know, to reinforce the African voice in the discussion?
I know some cultural platform of some networks of some different organization. I won't be able to, I can give you a few names, but that'll be a bit more general. But I think that the difference is that maybe Africans are not so good, Africans, I'm generalizing, but I think they're not so good at advertising.
Yes.
What they do, you know, in that regard. So I would say that, for example, there's the, I don't know, I think people just do the work. And but I don't have a sense of, but I don't have that idea of, you know, of monitoring what you do and then communicating it, you know. Okay. Because I think in the West is the culture, there's this understanding of leveraging both one actions. So it means that whatever you do, you monitor it and then you communicate it. You monitor it and then you share it. You monitor. And in Africa, that's not something that is as widely spread. So people just do it and they don't necessarily share it. So I think sometimes when you come from outside, you may have the impression that nobody is doing anything on the ground. But it's the contrary. And I think for me as well, I used to go and think I used to have that perspective that, you know, nobody was, you know, I used to complain saying that, you know, there were not much people involved in that area or that specific area, whatever. And I learned to be, how can I say that? I learned to resolve judgment, just to assume that maybe I don't know. And I would say, so for example, there is a platform called, you know, the Africa Leadership Network. I mean, there are lots of platforms, I guess, the Africa Leadership Network. There is a think tank in South Africa, another one in Senegal. I won't be able to tell you the name because I've been introduced to some of this platform by some of the actors in them. I don't know the name of the platform specifically. Obviously, yes. Africa Leadership Network. There's the Africa 2.0 platform, which talks about the need for cultural diplomacy.
Yes.
And which is a platform that has been organized by young African entrepreneurs and leaders. And they meet every year in a different African country. I think last year was in Addis Ababa, and this year is going to be in Ghana.
Yeah, okay.
In November, I believe. And they talk about, you know, and they talk about the idea of cultural diplomacy. And I know there's other platforms that are working on that field.
Is there any artist involved in those discussion and initiatives?
Yeah, there. You have artists. You have as well people that are involved in media. I know that the Africa leadership, in the Africa 2.0 platform, you had the director from Viacom for Africa, which I believe is a Nigerian guy based in South Africa.
Okay.
I'm really speaking on top of my head, so I don't want to say something.
No worry.
He was involved as an advisor in, you know, Viacom owns MTV Africa and other media platforms.
Okay.
I know he was involved as an advisor, and you have people from media involved in that. So yeah, there are people actually who are doing that. And I think what you have is that they're not necessarily state-supported institutions. Mm-hmm. They are more private institutions, self-initiated institutions that are doing that work and are basically building that conversation. And you mentioned earlier the Creative Industries conference that will be taking place in
Cameroon. There will be a creative industry conference in Cameroon, I think so, in October of this year.
So
I think actually I had before closing this first part of the podcast, I had a question. What was your take on the role of technology in the rise of economic growth in Africa and also in artistic practice?
I think that technology is going to be very important, not necessarily in the way that it's understood and that it is being explored in the West at the moment. I think more through the idea of Fab Lab, and I guess more on the construction model, because I think what you have in Africa in general, I'm just generalizing, but I think you have this trend of people being the own of this idea of reverse engineering, mm-hmm. and mixing, objects, that had a specific functions, but to redirect them, to use them to another purpose. And that's something that came maybe in a sense out of initially necessity, scarcity, but that has developed, that has shown a huge potential in terms of innovation. And in a world that is saturated with industrialized objects, and with this more and more growing concern for sustainability and all that sort of things, I think that Africans, when it comes to engineering, when it comes to art and culture in general, can really provide a much more sustainable and a much more resilient way of operating and of innovating. And in a way, maybe something that be more in need. I guess maybe it's very much more in the sense of the model and the philosophy that mm-hmm. That will drive the innovation. And I believe that in that regard, I think it's that would play a big part. But because if you look at it in the way that what is being done, let's say in London, there are many places where in terms of infrastructure, I can talk specifically for Cameroon, where you don't necessarily have all of the infrastructure that will allow people to, to be able to capitalize on the resources available now. But at the same time, what is very clear is that the moment that some of these new tools, some of these new technologies will become available, you can clearly see that people will be able to strive from them and will be able to appropriate them even more quicker than what is done in the West at the moment. So I believe that technology is going to be a big part, and that Africa is operating at the moment a big cultural, cultural change, and that technology is going to be a big part in that.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to close this first part of the podcast, and we'll focus more on your artistic practice on the next episode. Thank you.
Okay.